Breathe, oh breathe, your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we just sang that and we continue to pray it. That you, the one who conquered death, that you, the one who was raised by the power of the Spirit, that you, the one who lives now in the fullness of the Spirit, would come among us. Breathe your breath among us to connect us. Pour out your Spirit into us, that your word might pass through our ears and transform our mind and rule in our hearts. Lord Jesus, you love us. And so we ask that you would give us that Spirit of love. Do it now, do it forever. And do it for your glory and for the good of the world. And so we pray, we ask, we hope, and we do it with you, we do it in your name, and together we say, amen. You may be seated. When someone greets you, I've got a hunch, because y'all are all very intelligent people, that when someone greets you, you tend to know not only who it is, but how they feel about you in that particular moment. I mean, greetings speak volumes. Hey, that says one thing. Hey, says another. Hey! Says something totally different. The greeting speaks a volume, or speaks volumes. This Easter season, I've been thinking about our Easter greeting that speaks volumes, and I've been imagining and inviting you to imagine greeting each other with that greeting on aisle three at Food Lion. And responding from the treadmill at the Y, Christ is risen. Because it's a greeting that speaks volumes. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had been crucified, after he had conquered the grave, when he appeared to his disciples, he not only greeted them, speaking volumes, he gave them what he promised. And I want to invite you today to lean in and listen well and listen very carefully to the promise he makes that leads to the greeting that gets to the getting, or the giving and the getting of something we all deeply need. It's John 14, verses 15 to 21. And this too is God's word. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he is among you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and that I am in you. Whoever holds and keeps my commands is the one who loves me. And my Father will love them. And I myself will love them. And I will show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. It is a terrible thing to feel left out or left behind. It's a horrible thing to actually be left out or left behind. It's a terrible thing to not be picked for the team. It's a terrible thing to try out for the play and want the part and not get it, to apply for the job and to be rejected. It's a terrible thing to feel left out, to be left out, to be left behind. Do you know that many, 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 many people come to church for many years and feel left out and left behind? Do you know that many people show up week after week, month after month, or on Christmas and Easter, or on some random days where they feel that they want to see more and they don't get the more? That they don't feel like they see the big picture or get the different parts of the story, and that certainly everybody else sees the big picture and gets the whole story, and that they are the only ones that see and know in part. And you know what? We do a really bad job in the church typically, right? Because we don't want to take off the mask and show others that in the things of God, we too are still beginners. And let's be really honest. Jesus does not make it easy. I mean, did you follow with perfect clarity everything Jesus had to say in those just six verses? I didn't. It took me a week, and I'm still wondering. I mean, Jesus is promising to send among and into his people the Holy Spirit. He's promising to do that after he's crucified, after he's raised from the dead. The world's not going to see him, but then they will see him. I mean, did y'all get that? Did it all just suddenly click in place for you? I'm betting not. You can look at me and go, no, it didn't. I mean, think about what Jesus doesn't do, right? I mean, it would have been really nice if Jesus would have said, hey, Mary, 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 and Mary, all the Marys. Get Joanna, get Salome, come over here. Could you get Peter and James and John, and they'll get all the other apostles, even bring Judas along, and I'm going to tell you guys exactly what's going to happen. So get out your smartphones, get out your calendars. Here's how it's going to work, hour by hour. About Thursday, 8:45, Judas, you're going to betray me. Right? And by 9 o'clock, everybody, you're going to abandon me. Right? The soldiers you fear are going to take me to the authorities you don't trust. They're going to gather up lots of people who are going to tell lies about me, which are going to be believed, which are going to lead to false accusations. I'm going to be condemned. And by Friday at noon, set your watch, I'll be on the cross between two rebels. It'll only last 3 hours. Darkness is going to come over the land. And I will cry out and die. And you are all going to feel totally crushed, hopeless, helpless, alone. And it's not going to get any better all of Saturday. But then, after the world doesn't see me, you'll see me. I'll be made alive in the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. And because I live, you also will live. And the way this life thing is going to happen is you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you do, your brains are going to be blown, your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to realize three things. That I'm perfectly connected to the Father, that you're connected to me because of my love, and I'm in you. Wouldn't it have been so nice if Jesus just like would have laid it out step by step, moment by moment, time by time, so that they could have checked the box, been able to predict it, and even think about control it? I mean, wouldn't it have been nice if Jesus was just super straightforward and we could all get it at once and everybody could go, whew. But that's not the way Jesus does it, is it? Jesus doesn't give us a plan. He gives us a promise. And then he invites us on a ride. If you had to name the ride that Jesus invites you on, I don't know what you would call it. You probably shouldn't call it the Intimidator. Nor should you call it the Scream Machine. I thought about this a little bit this week, and so I thought I would came up. I'm going to call it the locomotive of love. Because that's what Jesus was about. That's what Jesus was always all about. You can hear it in the passage of today. You can also hear it if you go back to John 13, verse 1, where this four-chapter, super long, massively complicated conversation starts. At the very beginning, John says this: Jesus, knowing the Passover was about to come, and that he was going to leave the world to go to the Father, here it is, having loved his disciples, he loved them to the end. He loved them fully. He loved them perfectly. If you go forward, that's what you hear. If you go backwards after our passage for today and you go to John 15, 9, Jesus tries to give us the big picture in one verse. Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I kept the Father's command and remained in his love. Which, if you're listening and trying to get the big picture and you think about one part, really begs the question, what is the command that Jesus gives? John 13, 34, he brings it down to one command. Just as I have loved you, love one another. He says it again in John 15. This is my command, love one another. No greater love has anyone than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. And I'm telling you this, Jesus says, so that all of my joy might be in you. If you go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus gets a little more complicated, doubles the love command. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And the second command is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, share what I give you. Everything I receive from the Father, I give to you. I want you to receive it. Let it transform your heart so that you can turn around and share it. Now, with all of that introduction out there, can we go back to our first verse for today? Did you hear it? If you love me, keep my command. Being your pastor, I get to have some really strange experiences. I gathered with two groups of people this week and read that verse. One of the groups heard it and they went from strength to strength. They heard that, if you love me, keep my Father's command, and I'll give to you the Holy Spirit. They were thinking like, this is like gas for the car. This is like fuel for the rocket. Here we go. They went from strength to strength. It was like one verse that I had to like rein in the horses, like slow down. The other group didn't go from strength to strength. They went from should to should. Instead of hearing the if you love me and answering, we know we love him, they focused on the keep my commands and thought about the people they don't love and the neighbors they don't like and the enemies who they want anything for but what? Love. I mean, how is this possible? Same room, same table, the same lights were on, same Bibles were open, same verse, two completely different. How's that possible? I mean, worst case scenario, this is just the ego going wild on Wednesday morning and on Thursday morning. With one group, it's all about the self. And with the other group, it could be all about the self. Like there's a current, like two sides of the coin. On one side, on one day, there's a smiley face and it says, in ourselves we trust. nothing but strength. And on the other side, you know what it says? There's a frowny face, and it says, in ourselves we are disappointed. It's going to do that at all the dramatic moments of our sermon today. Worst case scenario, with either of those groups, they're hearing the words of Jesus and thinking first and foremost and fully about themselves, their strength or their weakness. That currency doesn't work on the locomotive of love. In fact, it's that dilemma, that focus on the self, that turning in on the self, that Jesus comes to save us from. He comes to keep us from turning in on ourselves, to open us back up. That's why he comes. That's why the Father sends him to come and meet us where we are, either in our pride or in our insecurity, to gather us in, to set us free. Y'all okay if I keep on going? So hear how it went. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will send to you another helper. That is the Spirit of Truth. That's the gospel promise. That's the gospel possibility. That Jesus, who lives for us, who dies for us, who's raised from the dead, wants to send the very Spirit, truth, and love of the God of the universe into your heart. That's what Jesus wants to give you and me and all of us. And yet, most of us live with orphan hearts, alone, feeling abandoned, like we're not enough. But what does Jesus say to us? I will not leave you as orphans. When my brother got divorced and started to let God rebuild his life, he literally rebuilt a house. It was like a practical, you know, entering in to a new season, to take something old and to rebuild it. And after that house was finished, he turned it into a home by opening up the door in hospitality, which meant if you went to Durham and you visited Griff, you never knew who was going to be there. So one morning I come down to get some coffee. I was there by myself, and Akeem was sitting in the kitchen all by himself. And I'm like, good morning, I'm T, I'm Griff's brother. And he was like, oh, I'm Akeem, I'm Griff's brother. I was like, okay. I heard the Akeem story. Akeem was from Ethiopia. One fell swoop, everyone in his village died except for Akeem. Left an orphan. No more sisters, no more brothers, no more parents, no more grandparents, no more aunts and uncles, no more neighbors. He didn't even have any enemies left. And he ended up in Addis Ababa, which is the capital of Ethiopia, living in a doorway, right on the edge of disappearing, being swallowed by a world that loves to eat orphans. And he was in that doorway one day when a man walked up to him and asked his name. And then told him, introduced to him by name, a friend of his named Jesus. He saw Akeem. He asked his name. He introduced him to Jesus so that Akeem would know, I will not leave you as an orphan. Which is why Akeem had a brother named Griff and another brother named T and a house on Hickory Neck Gap Road that he can come to at any time, in any condition, and know that he will be welcomed. All of us at some moment will feel like orphans, like we're not enough, like we're not forgotten, like nobody knows us, like nobody cares, like we will never do enough to really belong. But the truth of the gospel is this: I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and not only will I be with you, I will be in you. Which means the promise of the gospel and the invitation of the gospel is this: in your next orphan moment, when you don't feel like you're enough or have enough, that you do enough, that you'll never be enough, that no one really loves you, the invitation of the gospel of this is to open the windows of your soul and know that the King of the universe delights to live in your heart. That's what Jesus says in this passage: I will be in you. So when it feels like there's nothing but chaos in there, the invitation of the gospel, the promise of Jesus is, I'll be the king even there. When it feels like you're anonymous and you're alone and lost, the promise of the good shepherd is, I'll not just be with you, but I will be in you, and I will call you by name. I will lead you out. I will bring you in. I will give you rest. In your next orphan moment, when you feel like no one cares, the invitation of the gospel is to remember the promise of Jesus and to know the one who is the master, who delights to wash the feet of his friends, to care for them. It's the truth of who you are, because it's the truth of who he is. And the more we know who he is and how he loves us and how he wants to love others through us, we are set free to love and to pray. And to pray things like this: Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you. We can pray things like, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people and kindle in them the fire of your love. We can pray, come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, open my eyes because I feel like an orphan. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know our hearts, and you know the prayers we need to pray. You know the prayers we can only pray when we feel your love. And so I ask that you would breathe out your spirit, that you would give us the power and presence of your Father, that you would help us to see the big picture, to grasp the different parts of the story, to see how you are catching us up in your love, to greet us, to transform us, and to send us to the world you so love. So help us, we pray. And all your people said, Amen.